We have several options in the lectionary for a reading today. I'm going to pick one from John, towards the end of chapter 15 and then on into chapter 16. When the Advocate comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth who comes from the Father, he will testify on my behalf. You also are to testify because you have been with me from the beginning. Skipping ahead, I did not say these things to you from the beginning because I was with you, but now I am going to him who sent me. Yet none of you asks me, where are you going? But because I have said these things to you, sorrow has filled your hearts. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away, for if I do not go away, the Advocate will not come to you. But if I go away, I will send him to you. I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all the truth, for he will not speak on his own, but will speak whatever he hears, and he will declare to you the things that are to come. He will glorify me because he will take what is mine and declare it to you. Would you pray with me? Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight this day. Our Lord, our God, our strength, our Redeemer. Amen. So I'm wondering how many of you woke up with a palpable sense of excitement that today was Pentecost. I wonder how many of you woke up even vaguely aware that it was Pentecost. I'm happy to see a few people wearing dashes of red around us. Some of you got the memo. But I kind of feel sorry for Pentecost. It feels like the stepchild of Christian holidays. Can't hold a candle to Christmas or to Easter. I'd be surprised if any of you had plans to go home to your annual Pentecost dinner. Perhaps with tongues of fire barbecue, something. Now, for those of you who have been reading the Bible over the years, when you think of Pentecost, most people think of the dramatic account that's recorded in the second chapter of Acts. Let's forget for a moment that this was originally a Jewish holiday before it was a Christian holiday, but we read of the events of that day. Quote, and suddenly from heaven there came a sound like the rush of a violent wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. Divided tongues as a fire appeared among them, and a tongue rested on each one of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other languages as the Spirit gave them ability. When I was a young Christian, I don't know, maybe around age 13, I remember being captivated by this story. I kind of longed to have that experience of the Spirit coursing through my veins. And you know, as you read through the book of Acts, you hear about stories about testimony and speeches being given and thousands being converted. And I read of stories of the disciples healing the sick, and doggone it, I wanted that power. So you might think that sounds laudable, but I could look back now on these aspirations and see things in a much more nuanced way. I mean, what might be impressive to think of a young person being sold out for Jesus? I can see now maybe there is a little bit of an adolescent attraction to power there. Wouldn't it be great to have that power to heal? Then people would take me seriously. Then people would recognize that I was a force to be reckoned with. But beyond chronological age, anyone can be in an adolescent stage of faith formation, can be subject to mixed motives. So we need some sort of discerning spirit when we hear a pastor say, do you want the power? Do you want the power? And if we find ourselves being attracted to the power, perhaps we just need to think that through a little bit. It may not just be supernatural power. Some people have discovered a power in constantly letting people know that they are exemplary Christians. It's kind of like an adolescent neediness. So all this, I think, reveals a fundamental misunderstanding. When the Holy Spirit really is at work, it is never about our power. I mean, we like to hear stories of power, and that's partially why I didn't focus on the Acts 2 passage today. The temptation when preaching about Pentecost is to have a sermon about something that happened, past tense. But what does that have to do with today? That's why I decided to focus on John. It was Jesus' words that we read this morning, delivered prior to his arrest and crucifixion. And here, Jesus gives kind of a different perspective on the role of the Holy Spirit in our lives. Jesus anticipated the anxiety that the disciples must have had regarding his departure. He said, "But because I have said these things, sorrow fills your heart." But then he quickly goes on to say, maybe in a counterintuitive way, "Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it's to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the advocate will not come to you." So Jesus actually claims that it is to our advantage. But he moves on. When the Spirit is described as an advocate, that's hardly a power word. It's actually a legal word that sometimes might refer to being a legal counsel. The literal meaning is one who stands alongside of another, such as in the sense of being a helper or a comforter, which are rather gentle words, I would say. Later on, we read, "When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all truth." And when Jesus says all truth, I don't believe that he's referring to head knowledge. This touches on a theme that I've reviewed every once in a while. True growth in our understanding of God invariably leads to growth in our understanding about ourselves. If it doesn't lead to personal transformation, it's just a head trip, not a deeper understanding of God. Conversely, true growth in an understanding of ourselves invariably leads to a deeper understanding of God. I firmly believe this principle to be true. Our spiritual knowledge and self-knowledge are intertwined. The Greek word for truth, aletheia, has more to do with a sense of uncovering, unconcealing what has been there all along. And so Jesus says, "I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now." You know, more than extraordinary claims that are hard to grasp, I believe this might be more of a reference to your personal readiness to even let go of some of your cherished thoughts. Again, I see it as relating the interconnectedness of self understanding to spiritual growth. If your version of Christian growth relates to accumulating more historical facts or being able to quote more commentators, I think you're still in the shallow end of the pool. The Spirit, the word is paraclete, wants to come alongside you and lead you into truths that make you squirm, that will make you uncomfortable because it is very personal. I don't care if you're 60 or 70 or 80, the Spirit wants to lead you into more truth, maybe more truth than you're ready to bear right now. So we need to come back and look at that word power again. If you haven't figured it out, Jesus' understanding of power is totally different than the world's understanding. Pentecost is not intended to equip you to impress people or to mow down your opponents. When the Spirit of truth comes, when you're ready to bear it, you will be led into a deeper understanding of yourself than you ever imagined. You will find power in humility. The Spirit will uncover parts of you that have remained hidden. And it will be okay. It will be okay. You'll no longer need to be the hot shot to win arguments or to be the coolest kid on the block. And therein you will find unexpected power, for you'll no longer be able to prove yourself, having discovered more grace than you might have ever imagined. And this, of course, changes how we relate to others. Madeleine L'Engle describes it in this way: if God's peace is in our hearts, we carry it with us, and it can be given to those around us, not by our own will or virtue, but by the Holy Spirit working through us. We cannot give what we do not have, but if the Spirit blows through the dark clouds and enters our hearts, we can be used as vehicles of peace, and our own peace will be thereby deepened. The more peace we give away, the more peace we have. So we're not describing a path of super spirituality. Ken Wilber says, the spiritual path always begins elitist and ends egalitarian. Always. I found that to be true. So I no longer seek Pentecostal power. In this school of love, I just long for us to have all things in common. So maybe it's just as well that we don't turn Pentecost into another silly season complete with Hallmark cards. Maybe it's just as well that this is a quiet invitation for you to give permission to the Holy Spirit, the Spirit that's already within you, to do the deep work necessary to lead you into all truth, if you can bear it. If you even nervously keep moving in this direction, you will never regret it. Would you pray with me? Lord, as the people who instinctively love to be in control, help us to loosen up and to be receptive to a spirit within us already that wants to guide us, reveal, uncover more truths about ourselves than we might want to hear, but will ultimately lead us into a deeper, more radical understanding of your grace. We pray this in the name of the pervasive, loving Spirit. Amen. Let us stand as we sing.